Blog Talk Radio.
Rivers of water.
Another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Ah, of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll suggest everyone to grab all your study tools, your notepad, your iPad, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, a good Bible, study Bible, all those good things that you would need for a nice study. And as always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing me an opportunity to come before you and my people throughout the course of this evening. Father, I ask of thee to continue to open our hearts and open our minds to the wonders of your word, to the truth of thy Son. May we continue to walk according to the light that he has given us, the light that he is upon our feet. May you continue to strengthen us in your truth, in your ways, so that we can be good representatives of him here on this earth. Father, we thank thee for the friends and family that you've given us to assist us in our day-to-day life with thee. Father, we thank you for the loving kindness that you've shown to us at Beth Yahweh Congregation, us as Yisrael, and us as humanity. We thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the health and strength that you've given us. We thank you for the loving kindness that you've given us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, with pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us this holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Oh, I forgot to add. Am I coming through clearly? Shalom, everyone. Shalom, everyone. Ah, this is another opportunity, I must say. Last session, we talked about endurance. And I thought I had this thought, you know, and this was after the show, in regards to endurance. Sometimes our endurance gets tested, and it gets tested by our own being and our own thinking. And that our own thinking begins to wear us down. And one of those things that causes us to be worn down is our own selfish desires and our own pride. And because of this pride, it causes us not to do certain things. It causes us sometimes not to humble ourselves. It also helps us, it also not helps, but hinders us from showing forgiveness. And sometimes that forgiveness is forgiving our own selves for the wrongdoing that we have done. Because as we go each day and reflecting on the things that we've done, sometimes we see that the things that we've done is totally, totally against your will, Father. Totally, totally against your word. And we go and we ask you for forgiveness for our wrongdoings. But then when it comes to us and forgiving others, sometimes we forget about the forgiveness that you've given us. And our pride steps in the way and causes us not to show forgiveness. So that's what this topic is. We're going to be dealing with forgiveness. And the title of this session is forgiveness a sign of humility? Because when we humble ourselves, we don't see ourselves as being greater than the next person. We understand that they are no different than we are. Just as they make mistakes, we make mistakes. Just as they want forgiveness, we want forgiveness. But sometimes we as humans, we don't separate those things. We allow our emotions to get in the way. And sometimes our emotions get in the way and cause us not to give forgiveness to someone else. We're going to start off in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And it reads, "Forgive our debt as we also forget our debtors." So we're going to stop in this particular scripture, and we're going to stop the word debt. And it's 3783 in your Greek lexicon. And it is ophelema. And that definition is that which is owed, a debt. It also has a usage as offense and sin. One of the definitions, it says an alternate of ophelo, and that's something owed, i.e. figuratively, a due, morally, a fault, debt. So I kind of, you know, went to the definition for the help word study gave, and the definition it gave was the result of having a debt, focusing on the after effects of the obligation. So from from here, I looked up the term debt so that we can get an understanding of what a debt is. And this is coming from, you know, a Webster's Dictionary online. And it reads, obligation to pay or repay someone or something in return for something received. So, in looking at this, one of the things that came to my mind was the term trespass. Because sometimes when you look in the scriptures in regards to debt or guilt, it has the word trespass. So I looked the term trespass up. I don't have a scripture that says trespass in, but that came to my mind also, the term trespass. I think we're going to get to it a little later, but I think I did have a scripture with that. But at the time when I was, you know, the Father was leading and guiding me, it wasn't centered around trespass as being in a particular scripture. Okay, now the term trespass in the Greek is 3900. And it's paratama. And it means a false step, trespass, usage, a falling away, lack, slip. False step, trespass, and it has sin. Has sin as a definition. And then another definition, it says, unintentional errors or willful transgression, fault, offense. So we're familiar with what a sin is. As we know, the scriptures define that as transgression of the law. And we understand that the law is the instructions that have been given by the Most High through his prophets, through his priests. And ultimately, we come to understand that everything that has been said by the Most High is his law. And we come to realize that, as recently it was brought to our attention, that there is no options. This is it. There is no choice in it. These are the things that the Father wants us to do. So, from here, I looked the word up, and this is from the Help Word Studies. And that definition said, probably falling away after being close beside, i.e., deviation from the truth, an error, slip up, wrongdoing that can be unconsciously, non-deliberate. So we have to come to understand that some of these words, you know, when we go through the scriptures that I have, kind of bear in mind some of these definitions that's been given as we go through these scriptures, as we comb through our minds, as we reflect on us as individuals and dealing with the term debt. Because these words that I'm reading or these definitions are all coming from the term for debt or debts. Now, one of the words we have is offense, because when that's one of the definitions that we come across in for trespass. And an offense is the act of displeasing or affronting, of being insulted or morally outraged. So sometimes we as individuals, you know, these are types of debts, because what have we done? We have displeased someone. And this is something that a person has within themselves, because we have unconsciously did this. We didn't deliberately set out to do these things to a person, but we've done these. We've offended our brother or our sister. And then within this definition, it has the word affronting. So I looked that word up, because it's a word I've heard, but it's not really a word that I use. So I looked that word up, affront. And the definition of the word affront is to insult, especially to the face, by behavior or language. So I know I've fallen short in this particular area as an individual, where I'm not thinking that I'm doing something wrong, but in essence, I have done something wrong. I have offended my brother. I owe my brother, I have debt to my brother or my sister, because my behavior is displeasing. I have to be mindful of what I am doing as an individual amongst my family, my friends, the people I work with, you know, because years ago we heard this, you know, we were taught this in regards to, I think the question was put out, who is my brother? And it was taught to us that your brother or your sister is anyone you come in contact with. Because when we deal with the Most High, all of humanity is his. We know and understand that out of all of humanity, that he chose Israel to be an example for everybody to learn from. However, what did Israel do? They wanted to be like everybody else. They didn't understand what the task was given to them. A few did, and that's why we are where we are today. Because we gave ear, and that he chose us because he knew that we would give ear. And that's just dealing with our brother and our sister. And I'm just dealing with, you know, coming from the perspective of affront, to insult, especially to the face or by behavior or language. And then one of the terms under the term offense is outrage. I've heard it, but like I said, you know, I don't use this word in everyday conversation. And the definition for it is an act that violates acceptable standards of behavior or taste. Now, we understand what is acceptable behavior for Yisrael, the Torah. Cut and dry, the Torah, the instructions, what the prophets taught, what was passed down generation to generation about what thus saith Yahweh. These are the acceptable standards. And sometimes as an individual, I have definitely violated these standards. I violated these standards toward myself, and I also have made the mistake and violated these standards according to other people. So as we as believers and going in our day-to-day life must understand that we have to continue to comb ourselves, cleaning our garden out, cleaning our mind, because the mind is also symbolic of a field, symbolic of a garden. And we have to get those, we have to weed it sometimes. We have to aerate it. We have to drop more seeds. We have to go through it. Because if you have ever paid attention to a garden or paid attention to your yard, and if you don't take care of it, it gets all kinds of things up in it, all types of things. And that's what happens with our minds, because we know that the adversary is sifting our minds like wheat. He's also dropping stuff in it too and leaving it. And if we're not cleaning it up and paying attention, before you know it, you done got something growing all up in you. And you wondering where it came from. And then sometimes we as individuals, we notice it, and then we call ourselves getting it out of there. But what do? We don't grab everything. We might pick the fruit off. We might cut a couple branches. but we don't cut it down and pull up the roots. Because if we don't pull up the roots of an issue, it will grow again. It will grow again. And if you have a garden that you're taking care of and you're throwing fertilizer out there to make your the things that you have put there and you want there to grow, don't you know those things that you didn't put there and that you didn't get rid of is going to be getting that same fertilizer and same strength that you've given for your good stuff? And it's going to be taking root and holding strong? But that's one of the reasons why Yahushua came into our life. That's one of the reasons why he allowed us to give ear to what he was saying. So that we as individuals can be healthy in our thinking, healthy in our way of life. So then the next word I came across was oneself. First I looked up the word yourself, but then I said, no, I'm going to go with oneself. And it's one's normal, healthy, or sane condition for self. And in this particular definition, when dealing with oneself, I stopped at the word sane. And it means proceeding from a sound mind, being rational. See, that's one of the things that the Father wants us to be. He wants us to have a healthy dose of his word. He wants us to be sane and sound mind with his word. So that when we have to interact and deal with other people, we are rational in what we say. But then we also have to be mindful of this also, that at times we are guilty. We are guilty of falling short. We are guilty of not doing what thus saith Yahweh. We're guilty of not paying attention to what his representatives have said. And we've learned this also through the scriptures, that when we have authority that's over us, that authority has been placed there over us by the Most High, Yahweh. Yahweh put these individuals over us because he's always teaching us. He's always teaching us. Every opportunity he has to give us a lesson and a blessing, and he's going to do that. It's all in what we do with the information that we have. It's all in what we do with the experiences that we go through and how we apply that wisdom to our day-to-day life. As we interact with our friends, as we interact with our families, as we interact with strangers. So here we're going to look at the term guilty. It's just a, you know, when you look these words up, I didn't go through grabbing on number of definitions that each one of these words had. I just grabbed one or two that felt that they stuck out to me. That one could, you know, as we're going through this lesson, we get the gist of what this word means. Guilt, the state of one who has committed an offense, especially consciously. Feelings of deserved blame, especially for imagined offenses or from a sense of inadequacy. That's guilt. See, you have committed an offense consciously. And the feelings that you deserve, feelings of deserving blame, especially for imagined offenses. See, when I wrote this one down, this one, I looked at this one based on we as individuals and blaming ourselves and not forgiving ourselves for some of the things that we have done that we believe that no one else knows about. But the Father knows. And because the Father knows, we must ask for forgiveness. And see, and that goes back to the title, forgiveness. Is forgiveness a sign of humility? See, when you ask the Father for forgiveness for something that you and he knows about, what you're doing, you're humbling yourself to the Father, and you're asking him for forgiveness. It's not making you weak. It's just showing your respect and your love for the Father. And you're asking him to forgive you. Just like when we do something wrong, we ask him for forgiveness. And we expect him to give us forgiveness. But at the same time, we must do the same thing. We must forgive others. Then the next definition we have is self-reproach. You see, and this is another one of those things that causes us as humans sometimes to wrong others. And it's a harsh criticism or disapproval of one's self, especially for wrongdoings. See, we're so harsh and critical on ourselves that we don't find the time to give forgiveness to someone else, because that person has done the same exact thing that we have done. And because we haven't forgiven ourselves or asked for forgiveness, we don't give forgiveness to that person, because we see ourselves as not being forgiven for wrongdoing that we have done. But we have not humbled ourselves to the Father and asked for forgiveness. We're walking around with problems and issues within ourselves. And that's all we have to do is ask for forgiveness. That's all we have to do is go to our friends, go to our brother, go to our sister, and bring it to their attention. And they will help us through it, because that's what the Word tells us. It tells us to correct that one who's got caught up in a fault. In meekness and in love. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. So now, hopefully, we went through the definitions. So bear in mind these definitions and some of these terms as we go through the scriptures tonight, and bear in mind the title. It's forgiveness. A sign of humility. From here, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And it reads, "Put on, therefore, as Yah's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, humility, perseverance." Last week, we talked about perseverance. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If any man has a complaint against, even as Yahushua forgave you, so you also do. So this is telling us, hey, if we have any problems with anybody, if we have any complaints with anyone, we must forgive them, because Yahushua forgave us. And Yahushua, as we know, is the example in which we are following after, because we want to show his image here on the earth. Not our image, his image. But our image has to be like his. Our image must be healthy. Our image must be rational. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And it reads, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, compassionate, loving as brothers, tender-hearted, courteous, not rendering evil for evil or insult for insult, but instead blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. What is that blessing? Blessing is the kingdom. That blessing is the knowledge and the wisdom of Yahushua. That blessing is to know that you have been chosen by the Father to be a part of his family. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And we have to understand this. See, because we're human. One of the things that we learned in Genesis, way back when, dealing with the mind of man, it is wicked and constantly striving to do evil. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of Abba is eternal life in Yahushua." See, as we work and live as the Father allows us, we're trying to take on the spirit of Yahushua, or we are allowing the spirit of Yahushua to dwell within us. See, because we're not putting up those barriers to repel him. We're not being rebellious. We're not running away from him. We're standing still and we're listening. As the scriptures say, he who has an ear, let him hear. See, we're taking that time and we're hearing what thus saith Yahweh. We're taking the time to say what thus saith Yahushua. From here, we're going to go with, you know, the defining what sin is. Because with sin comes death. 1 John 3:4. And it reads, "Everyone who sins also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." And see, and when you deal with, you know, you go into the testimony of Yahweh Elohim, it talks about the law. It uses the term law. And this is using that term and connecting it with sin. And sin. So from here, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Understanding that we don't want sin in us. We want to stand firm on his law, statutes, and judgments. We want to stand firm in what thus saith Yahushua, the example that he showed us, the teachings that he spoke to us in regards to. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And it reads, "With all lowliness and humility, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." See, this is what we need to do as far as friendship, family, maintaining that peace, maintaining that unity. And how do we do it? By humbling ourselves to one another, by being patient with one another, with love, with kindness. As we learned years ago, they say charity starts at home. When we define the term charity, it means love. And we as believers have several homes. We have our individual home in which we live with our individual family. And then we have our extended home. And that's that home that we dwell in with Yahushua, where he is Father and leading and guiding us and helping us along. as they say, he is the head. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. And it reads, if your brother sins against you, go, show him his faults between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained back your brother. You understand? You have gained back your brother. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't keep trying to go back to this brother to talk to him. If you go to him once and he doesn't hear you, it doesn't mean you don't go back again. And don't go back again. And don't go back again. Because this situation is between you and him. It's between two people, we say that. You don't necessarily have to get a third party into a situation unless it really deems that. From here, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, and it reads, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sins because of him. See, that's one of the reasons why you go back and you talk to your brother, because you don't want to harbor any kind of hate in your heart. Because now, if you harbor hate in your heart now, what are you doing? You're hurting yourself. Not hurting your brother, but you're hurting yourself. From here, we're going to go to Mark chapter 12, verse 31. And this particular scripture, you know, it has the first one. I mean, you know, when you read it. Actually, I just wanted to read one part of it, but I'm going to read the whole scripture. And it says, the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And, you know, when you read these particular scriptures, it's talking about, you know, love Yahweh with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. And then the second one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so when the Father led me to this particular scripture, it's talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. But if you have problems with yourself, it's going to be difficult for you to love your neighbor. You can act like you love your neighbor. You can pretend that you love your neighbor. But if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else? How are you going to be kind to someone else when you're not kind to yourself? When you have self-hatred. See, and that's why we have to stay grounded in Yah's word. We have to have a rational mind. We have to be sane. We have to be pleasing to the Father. And if we're pleasing to the Father, then we're going to see ourselves as doing right. And he's going to let you know that you're doing right by those that are around you, who will constantly encourage you, keep doing the good things that you're doing. And so it'll be easier for you to continue to love your neighbor and show your neighbor kindness, because you're showing kindness to yourself. It's because kindness is being shown to you. James chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And it reads, however, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as a transgressor. See, we have to understand that we can't pick and choose what we want to do out of the laws and statutes and judgments. Can't pick and choose. You got to do it all. Before forever to do it all. But we have to truly understand that we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes, but the thing about it is that we're not putting work in making mistakes. We're putting in work trying to be righteous. And if we're putting in work to be righteous, our occasional slip-up not going to be frowned upon so much, because that's when we ask for repentance. That's when we repent and ask for forgiveness. But we go to our brother and sister and ask for help. Help us get over this barrier, get over this hurdle, because we realize that we can't do it alone. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 9 and 10. And it says, debate your case with your neighbor and do not betray the confidence of another, lest one who hears it put you to shame and your bad reputation never departs. So this is talking about when you have an situation with your brother, your neighbor. Clear that up between the two of you. Clear it up. Don't go out there and share the situation with someone else, because now you bring shame to you and that person. And a bad reputation may follow. Remember one of the definitions that we say? Talks about the, what's it called? Talks about the, here we go, the effects. This is going back to dealing with debt. Focusing on the after effect of an obligation. And this is talking about the debt. This is talking about a situation that happened between you and a friend, or you and a brother, or you and someone. Dealing with the after effects of how you interact and deal with a situation. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. And it reads, be careful. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, seven times returns, say, I repent. You shall forgive him. See, so every time a brother or sister needs your help, your forgiveness, give it to him. Give it to him. Because that's what you want the Father to give you when you goof up. That's what we're supposed to be doing for our brothers and sisters. That's what we're supposed to be doing for her humanity. See, we read in the scriptures and the nations say, you are wise people. Why are they calling them wise? Because of how they interact with each other and how they interact with other people. They become an example. As the scripture talks, they are peculiar people. Why? Because their actions and deeds are different from those of the world. Why are they different of the world? Because our actions and deeds and our principles that we follow are not of the world. We're in the world, not of this world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. it reads, brothers, even if a man is caught in some fault, you who are spiritual must restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself so that you also aren't tempted. Understanding this, we know that we're carnal. We know that we make mistakes. But we must restore our brothers and sisters when we see that they're messing up. And we restore them in gentleness, kindness. See, because we don't want them to feel bad about the thing that they've done. We want them to learn the love of the Most High. Because that's what we're showing them. We're showing them the love of the Most High. We're going contrary to our nature as we deal with our brother who is caught up in a fault. We're not going there to judge that individual. We're going there to help them, pull them out of the mud, pull them out of the situation. Ecclesiastes 7:8, and it reads, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. The patient in the spirit is better than the proud in the spirit. See, when we look at the end results, see, the end result is saving a soul. Sometimes we all, you know, if we look at ourselves as individuals, if we look back to where we came from and look at where we are, we realize that our beginning is nowhere near where our present is. We've been through the muck and the mire, the ups and the downs. Still go through those ups and the downs, but they're not like they were in the beginning. Not like that. Why? Because as the Father is patient with us, we are patient with others. Where we're not boasting in what we have done and boasting on where we are. Because when we do that, we realize we have not gone anywhere. We're still where we used to be. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it reads, "For Abba did not give us the spirit of fear, power, love, and self-control." So when we deal with forgiveness, see, we have to use self-control. And understanding that through that self-control, I'm going to humble myself. Not going to be haughty. Humble myself. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Help a brother out. Confront a brother in regards to a situation. And I'm confronting him. And love. Because that is the power that we shall use to overcome the things of this world. His love for humanity. And it allows him to maintain self-control, to go through the things that he went through. So now we're going to go to a couple of, I don't know what you're saying, some long readings. That's what we're going to say. We got some long readings going on right now. So from here, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 5, verse 14 to 19. And these particular scriptures is talking about the laws for the guilt offering. See, because, you know, Yahweh Elohim told Israel, this is what you do if you're guilty of something. This is what you do. And as we know, according to what Paul taught and what Paul said in the scriptures, everything, you know, not that one, talks about how the law was a schoolmaster. So certain things you're supposed to learn from things of the law, teaching us certain things, or certain principles that we should follow. But these things, as we know, point you to a spiritual truth. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 14, and it reads, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone commits a trespass and sins unwittingly regarding Yahweh's holy things, then he shall bring his trespass offering to Yahweh, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your estimation, in silver by shekels, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. He shall make restitution for that which he has done wrong regarding the holy thing, and shall add a fifth part to it and give it to the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram and of the trespass offering, and he will be forgiven. If anyone sins doing any of these things which Yahweh has commanded not to do, not to be done, though he did not know it, he is still guilty and shall bear his iniquity. He shall bring a ram without defect from the flock, according to his estimation, for trespass offering to the priest, and the priest shall make atonement for him concerning the thing in which he sinned and did not know it. And he will be forgiven. It is a trespass offering. He is certainly guilty for Yahweh. So this was the law of the guilt offering. The next one, you can read it on your own. And this is a parable that was given. And this parable is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And it's Matthew 18, 23 to 35. And I'm going to sum it up. And it's talking about a gentleman or a servant who went before the king. And the king wanted his due. And the servant didn't have it. So the king was talking about taking his family, taking his stuff. And the man pleaded with the king. And the king showed him mercy and cleared him of all his debt. But that same servant, someone owed him something. And he demanded from that servant the thing that he was owed, to the point where this individual was put in jail. And see, when that king found out what this servant had done, he did the same exact thing to this servant. See, because this servant was shown mercy, was shown kindness, and he himself did not show the same kindness that was given to him. And see, and this is one of the things that in dealing with this forgiveness, see, we want the kindness. We want these things. But when it's our turn to show that kindness, we must do the same thing. When we our turn to show that forgiveness, we must do the same thing. We can't forget about the forgiveness that someone else gave us, the liberty that someone gave us, the past that someone gave us, and not extend that same generosity to someone else. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 3 to 11. And it reads, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman taken in adultery. Having set her in the middle, they told him, 'Teacher, we found this woman in adultery, in the very act. Now, in our law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say about her?' They said this, testing him, that they may have something to accuse him of. But Yahushua stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, 'Who is without sin among you?' let him throw the first stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Then when they heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the oldest even to the last. Yahushua was left alone with the woman, where she was in the middle. Yahushua, standing up, saw her and said, 'Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?' She said, 'No one.' She said, 'No, no one, Master.' Yahushua said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more.'" See, he had the authority to condemn her. But those who were trying to condemn her, they had to reflect on their individual lives. And when they reflected on their individual lives, they realized that they could not condemn her. Why? Because they themselves were guilty of something. As we read earlier, you can't choose, pick and choose what you want to do. As we read, if you sin in one point, you sin in all. Can't pick and choose what you're going to do. And seeing at the end of this, Yahushua told her, go and sin no more. Don't make that a habit any longer. And that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to make a habit of doing certain things or breaking his law, breaking his statute, breaking his judgment. Making his name look bad. See, because when we attach ourselves to Israel, when we attach ourselves to Yahushua, when we go wrong or we go contrary, it's not us that people see. It is Yahushua whom we say we believe in that they see. It is our Father in whom they see. From here, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. 16, and it reads, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." Romans chapter 8, verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And that was the last scripture of the night. And I just want to just reiterate to family, friends, listening audience, let's be mindful that as we walk this walk with Yahushua, that we're walking in his spirit. And yes, we're in the world, but he tells us, you're in the world, but not of the world. And many times, you know, just going back to last week's lesson and dealing with the endurance and perseverance, sometimes the things of the world, we get caught up in it sometimes. But sometimes we have to reflect and realize the wonders that the Father has given us, the wonders that Yahushua is revealing to us on a day-to-day basis. We have to understand and realize what we do have in Yahushua, what we do have in the Torah, what Abba has given us, as we know, right now, people don't see us as being children of the kingdom. But we too have to see ourselves as being children of the kingdom. And if we don't see ourselves as being children of the kingdom, we'll jump on that bike called the pity bike and start riding and riding and riding and thinking that we didn't miss out on some stuff, when in essence we haven't missed out on anything. They have chosen us to live a certain life. And we have to appreciate the life that he has given us, that we are constantly saying, thank you, Father, for allowing me to be one of yours. See, because in due time, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in, my child. See, because we've done the work. We're putting in the work. We're helping those who need our assistance. We're helping one another to overcome those barriers that we ourselves sometimes put in our way. We ourselves build. And when we finally recognize that it's there, we question ourselves, where did this come from? We must learn to forgive ourselves. And forgiving ourselves, it makes it easier for us to forgive others. And we realize that forgiving someone is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of boldness. It's a sign of love. It's a sign of humility. And these are all the characters that at one time Yahushua demonstrated these things in the narrative that we read. And these are the characters that we must take on so that we can be little messiahs here on earth. And if we're all doing these things, we become that body of Messiah, that unified front that all will see. And all will take a hold of. For they see Israel as a strong and wise nation, in which Yahushua, in which Yahweh Elohim, have demonstrated and told us This is what we must be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, once again, for granting me the opportunity to speak to your people in regards to your word, in regards to your truth. Father, I ask of thee to open their minds, eyes, to the scriptures in which you allow me to put together for them. And me. And may we understand those things as they relate to your word, O Father, as we build up our armor in you, as we strengthen our mind in you, as we build our character in you. For it is through you and thy Son, Yahushua, O Father, that we can accomplish those things in which you have set before us to do. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. May we continue to demonstrate your character, which is the fruit of thy spirit. May we continue to put on the whole armor of Yahushua to defend ourselves against the wiles of the adversary. For our belief in you, O Father, and our love for Yahushua will assist us in overcoming whatever obstacles we are faced with. Father, we ask of thee to protect us as we prepare ourselves to go to sleep. We ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind, keeping your law, statutes, and judgment forever on our mind. We thank you, Father, for protecting us throughout the course of this week and bringing us to this Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for suffering with us on this Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for choosing us to give you honor, give you praise on this Sabbath day. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Yield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in Yahushua's holy and precious name, we give honor and praise to you and only you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Shabbat shalom.
Nothing left to do. just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just
you've given unto me.
something. You've taken my stony heart away, and you have given me a heart of flesh to praise you. Sprinkle clean water on me. Given unto me, and new hopes you put within me. You've taken all of my sins away. Thank you, Lord. And you have given me eternity to live. Every page that I write, every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.